everybody. This is Dr. Joyce Starr with RightsRadio.com, where your rights have an independent URL. Brought to you by StarPublishing.com and StarPublications.com. That's Star with two R's. Our topic today, why we like the Irish. Full disclosure, I identify with the Irish. I like their spunk, directness, and terrific sense of humor. I even open and close iTunes versions of this show with Irish music. Undertaking a one-person survey, I asked a close colleague what he thought about the Irish. His response might echo your feelings. I just like them. What is it about Ireland that makes us happy? Lush green fields, epic tales, and wistful views of the sea, for starters. Visiting Ireland many years ago, I searched for my Irish roots. Indeed, I found them. It turned out that the Starr family had its very own crest, with a lion at the top and the scales of justice balanced in the center. I was thrilled. The fact that our name was shortened to Starr when my grandfather immigrated from Kiev to America made no difference whatsoever. Clearly, I'm part Irish. So, like 40 million other Irish Americans, I enjoyed President Obama's trip to Ireland. It was a welcome break after the minefield drama over Israel's return to the 1967 borders. As everyone and their pet should know by now, President Obama gave a major policy address on May 18, stating, "The borders of Israel and Palestine should be based on the 1967 lines with mutually agreed swaps so that secure and recognized borders are established for both states." The line referred to Israel's boundaries before it took control of the West Bank and Gaza Strip after the 1967 Six-Day War. President Obama argued that Israel's 1967 borders had been the starting point for negotiations for over a decade. Others countered, but a U.S. president never said it publicly, thereby putting pressure on Israel. The media went wild over Israeli Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu's reaction, Obama's counter-reaction, and Bibi's counter-counter-response. Of course, the issue is more complicated, but let's not get distracted. The president was cool under fire, knowing that in just a few short hours, he'd be embracing his Irish roots in the charming town of Moneygal, reuniting with the spirit of his great-great-great-grandfather. Gotcha on that one, Sean Hannity. And the best part, imbibing a glass of Guinness beer in a handsome Irish pub surrounded by real folks. American voters were so weary with ancient borders and truly epic tornadoes that everyone was ready for a drink of ale. Another friend wrote me, "Well, it's just a good thing they didn't ask him to kiss the Blarney Stone." In fact, I did a show in August 2010 entitled Bill O'Reilly versus Barack O'Blarney. Turns out that I can see at least 10 months into the future. Yes, I just knew that Barack would one day return home looking for the missing apostrophe in his name. Again, I quote, "And I've come home," Obama told a 25,000-person crowd, "to find the apostrophe that we lost somewhere along the way." Of course, that was a different era, when the Democrats were threatening Medicare. Who knew that the Republicans secretly wanted to turn Medicare into an IPO? But then Obama left Ireland and reality set in. Maureen Dowd of the New York Times captured the sunset moment. Quote, "Saddled in the afterglow, the Irish are trying to figure out, was it true love or merely a one-day stand? Not even a whole night after all, since Barry Obama ran off after the ecstatic love fest, muttering some incredible excuse about a volcanic ash cloud from Iceland. The tall, dark stranger who bewitched an island didn't say when he'd be calling again to help out with Ireland's $100 billion debt. Ah, Barry, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sunshine warm upon your face. May the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand." That's a traditional Irish blessing attributed to St. Patrick. And this is Dr. Joyce Starr with Rights Radio. Bye-bye.